Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Now, American TV series Bob's Burgers has received praise here in Ireland following their recent portrayal of an old Irish mammy. Take a listen.
And we're here. After you. Mary, this is Bob Burger.
Yeah.
Bob, this is Kathleen's fantastic Irish mom, Mary.
Hi, Mary. Nice to meet you.
You look familiar to me. Did you spend time in County Loud?
No.
You look like one of the McLarney brothers, and I do not care for them.
I'm not a McLarney brother.
Tell that to your weak chin.
Don't mind him, Mary. He's not super Catholic like we are. You want to take a seat over in this booth, and I'll bring you some menus?
I will.
Well, it got us thinking of some of the best and worst Irish representations on both the big and small screen. And I'm joined now by arts journalist and film critic Chris Wasser to discuss. Let's just say we like that.
I think we do. Yeah.
You laughed. I laughed.
I did, yeah. And it helps too that that's Sharon Horgan that you can hear playing the Irish mammy Mary. But she also plays the character Mary's daughter, Kathleen. So Sharon Horgan, I think, has been in 3 or 4 episodes of Bob's Burgers. And Bob's Burgers has gone sort of above and beyond to make an effort when it comes to, you know, I suppose the Irish characters. There are very few of them. But there was an episode a few years ago where Bob's Diner was actually turned into a sports bar. But not just that, actually a hurling-themed bar, as one of the characters say was trying to impress Kathleen. And there was a great scene where Kathleen is introduced and says, you know, that maybe one guy in a jersey across the diner could be her dad because he looks that way. And the character saying, well, maybe you know, you might be related. And there's this whole big running joke about how, you know, oh, Ireland's small. Oh, we don't all know one another. Oh, actually, we're cousins. So stuff like that is actually genuinely funny. I appreciated the cartoon hurling. I appreciated, the gags about like, oh, you look like a neighbor of mine, so I hate you.
And that's
shows
true,
like, yeah.
Because that is kind of Irish. Like, I have heard people say, I don't like the name Frank. Why? Because I know Frank and I don't like him. All Franks, for the rest of their lives, you've just decided you're not going to be a fan. I mean, I think that's kind of Irish.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Because we're not used to, whenever we hear that a famous cartoon, a famous show, an American film is going to have some sort of Irish character in the next season, you hold your breath and you think this is going to be terrible. You know, because your first thought is they're going to do a quiet man job on this or something like that. It's going to be all Begar and Bejays. It's going to be a complete disaster, basically.
What are the common stereotypes about Irish people that we see in films and TV shows?
I always kind of go back to whenever I'm asked about this, which is kind of a lot, and also maybe sometimes around like, you know, March for obvious reasons. I think the quiet man is sort of the root of the problem here, because that was probably one of the first times that, you know, an international studio making a production that was, you know, set in Ireland and also largely filmed in Ireland, created this, you know, stereotype on screen, this kind of false, you know, postcard version of Ireland. So John Ford's film, it's a bit of a fantasy, and it kind of created all those stereotypes that still exist. It's beautiful to look at. I mean, a guy named Wynton Hawke shot that film during an uncharacteristically sunny summer, let's say, because, I mean, Ireland just looks, Mayo and Galway just look spectacular in it. There is a bit of rain, but it looks amazing. But it's just so horrible to listen to. It's populated by Egypt. It's all very backwards. It's just a bogus representation of Ireland.
Drunken, brawling, superstitious, priest-ridden lands.
Yeah, John Wayne just essentially bullying his way into more, you know, Harris Hart, which has never really sat well with me at all. But I sound like a character now from The Quiet Man. But yeah, I think that was the root of the problem. 7 years later, then you had
but
Derby.
Sorry to cut across you. There's lots of people, though, that still really love The Quiet Man and say, look, we shouldn't look at it now, whatever many decades on. with a certain outrage. Maybe we should see it for what it was at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it was at the time, like, no. It was a bit of a fan. But at the same time as well, like, you know, there were critics. I think it was a critic from the New York Times at back in 1952 said, you know, if we're to believe everything we see in The Quiet Man, then everyone in Ireland is just as cute as a button. In other words, this is not a drama, folks. This is a fantasy, and maybe we should accept it that way. That's all well and good, but it did open the floodgates a little bit, you know, for the likes of Finian's Rainbow, for Darby O'Gill and the Little People. And I think that essentially is the root of the problem when it comes to Irish representations on screen.
And some absolute, as I said, horror show. We have a clip here where Christopher Walken does it's an interesting impression mm-hmm. of an Irish person in Wild Mountain Time. Let's take a listen.
Rosemary Muldoon. Yeah! Besotted with love.
There's these green fields and there's us. Whatever that is, it holds me here.
When he says those things.
It's not normal.
I don't care.
You take after John Kelly, and that man was mad as the full moon.
Sorry, I'm laughing.
Yeah, it's bad.
It was just such a nightmare.
It's terrible.
Please
yeah.
Please tell me we don't sound like that.
No, we don't. But we appreciated the laugh that film gave us, because remember that film was released in 2021, which is a year that just we were living in a different world. And I think that's it. That film was originally planned for a cinema release, but obviously went to streaming because of COVID. It's a film by John Patrick Shanley. That was originally a play by John Patrick Shanley called Outside Mullingar. And for anyone who has seen this, there's a massive twist involved that kind of tips the film over into a sort of a weird farce fantasy state. So that's how we should take it. I don't think it's supposed to be taken seriously as a drama. It's about kind of two...
Do you think the people who make it intended that to be the outcome?
Oh, hopefully everyone involved was in on the joke. But I remember John Hamm is in the film. It's all set in County Mayo. It's about two villagers, Jamie Dorman is one of them, Amy Blunt. They've lived on opposite farms across from each other for 30 odd years. And they're both kind of mad about each other, but they're also too shy to do anything about it. Christopher Walken is one of the fathers there that you can hear. And one day in comes this, you know, flashy American businessman who seems to live about 50 years into the future and completely changes things for these two people. And when John Hamm is playing the flashy businessman, and when he was doing interviews for this film, he noticed that we were all, you know, very loud, you know, from the safety of our homes at the time, saying, oh, this is another case of, you know, the Americans getting us wrong on screen. And John Hamm was like the first to say, relax, you guys always do this. And you know what? He's right. We are very, because we're not the only country that gets, you know, that sees ourselves, you know, made fun of in terms of, you know, American cinema. I mean, Italy gets it bad as well. France gets it bad. You know, and there isn't a European country, basically, that hasn't had some sort of false representation in American cinema.
But why do you think we are so much more sensitive to it? Is it the types of betrayals are actually a bit harmful? You know, the fighting, drunken agent of the Irish.
Yeah, I just think we're just very better at complaining than those other countries, basically. I just think we're a bit louder. Probably because there are so many Americans that probably come here looking, you know, because, I mean, the Quiet Man did create, you know, it literally created a tourist gold mine. You know, so people actually come over here to see where that was filmed, or they come over here expecting to see some sort of representation of what they, you know, what they experienced on the big screen.
Okay, let's take a listen to The Quiet Man.
Don't you remember, Seanine, and how it was? The road led up past the chapel, and it wound. And there was the field where Dan Tobin's bull chased you. It was a lovely little house, Seanine.
I mean, more modern interpretations of Irish culture. I'm thinking Leap Year. Yeah. I'm thinking P.S. I Love You. Where yeah. do you stand on those?
It depends on what mood I'm in that day. I tend to flip-flop on Leap Year because I think Amy Adams has the charm to just about carry that film. And I appreciated the fact too that everyone involved in it, including Matthew Good. Matthew Good at the time said that the only reason he did that was because his partner was pregnant at the time. And if he filmed in Ireland, he could actually go home to her on the weekends in the UK. So
don't
I appreciate
use us
that.
Like that, Matthew.
I appreciate that. I'm like, you know, the actors got to pay bills as well and got to stay close to their family. So you do that project.
I watched the clip for today, the promo clip, I thought, which gives the entire story away. If you haven't watched Leap Year, just watch the 1 minute promo on YouTube. It tells you the complete story after. I thought it looked absolutely atrocious.
The trailer
but
also,
I might watch it.
The trailer also makes it look as though, oh, you've never seen it.
No.
Oh, fix that. Oh, for a good laugh, fix that. But the trailer makes it seem as though Amy Adams hires an Irish farmer to help her drive from Wales to Dublin, which which obviously you cannot do. And at the time, everyone freaked out, but that's not the case. P.S.
Very
I love you.
Looking farmer, I should point out.
He is. Matthew Good is a very good looking farmer. But P.S. I love you. I was maybe a bit more offended by because, I mean, this was actually coming from an Irish writer. Sometimes people do get it right. I will say briefly, Martin McDonagh. Martin McDonagh gets an awful time, despite the fact that he is one of us, born to Irish parents, just happened to be raised in London. He sometimes gets an awful time for what people think are these bogus backward depictions of Ireland in terms of his stage work, like The Cripple of Inishman and all the rest of them, and also The Banshees of Inisherin. I don't buy that at all. I think he is actually good, because what he's creating there are these heightened tragicomedies that are actually about something, that are actually quite deep, that are quite thoughtful. An awful lot of work has gone into them. There's something underneath them, basically. But when it comes to something like Leap Year or Irish Wish or P.S. I Love You, they're empty. That's the problem.
Was there any depiction that offended you?
Depictions that offended me. I was a little bit hurt by Irish Wish. Just, you know, the St. Bridget running around the hills casting spells on people. I think that just annoyed me more than anything. And I was a bit disappointed recently with Only Murders in the Building, because Martin Short, obviously, his family are from here. He likes to talk an awful lot about that in interviews. Paul Rudd would have spent an awful lot of time in Dublin in recent times. So when it came to actually having an Irish character playing the stunt double of an actor in the show, Paul Rudd's basically just doing another bogus Irish stereotype. That kind of maybe
Glenn Stubbins and you're all feck and fecks.
Yeah. There was one good joke in there. There was one good joke when he actually went to start a fight, I think, with Steve Martin and put up his fist and said, "Let me introduce you to Bono and the Edge." I thought that was okay. That's funny. Fair enough. But yeah, I expected maybe just better from those guys because they have spent a lot of time.
Apparently,
here.
He did go back to the director and say, "I really, really, really need to re-record the opening narrative here because I realise, after doing a film with John Carney in Ireland afterwards, how badly wrong he'd got it." But they said, "Sorry, it's too late.
There's no room. There's
too
no time.
Too late. It's gone. It's been dubbed 400 times. It's in post-production.
Okay.
Live with it, Paul Rudd." So there you go. At least he recognised the error of his ways. Chris Westbrook, thanks so much for that.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.